Well, I certainly missed everybody last Sunday. Glad you're here for this spring. So today we're going to take a look at another name for God in the Old Testament. And this name is very powerful. And it's unique. And the power that we're going to see in this name, I hope that that this power will make a difference in our lives. And Mark and Steve already this morning have just really focused and pointed out just the wonderful power of God to be willing to love and serve and direct us on His behalf. And as we go through and as we study this name today, it should do two things. Number one, it should reorient our relationship with God to what it's supposed to look like. And then number two, it should renew within our hearts a stance of grace towards others. And so we are going to go to our Father in prayer and ask Him to lead us in this, because this is not something that we can do by our own strength or by our own power. So we will ask Him to do such things. Let's pray. Father, we are here to thank You for the love that You have shown us in all things. And we are here to thank You for the love that You have shown us in Jesus Christ. And Father, we are also here, having been forgiven of our sins and reminded of Your great love, we are here to find the motivation and the strength and the humility to love others as You love us. Father, we know that Your love and Your mercy have always been shown to Your people for the sake of flowing through us and not stopping at us. Father, today as we look at Your name, may we find the encouragement and the willingness to allow Your mercy to flow through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 48, we see the next name of God in the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. It's only used one time in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, the circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that time on shall be the Lord is there. Yahweh Shema, S-H-A-M-M-A-H. Now this is an interesting name that we're going to take a look at today. The first thing that's interesting about this name is the fact that this is a name that is actually put on a place. So it is the city that is going to receive this name of God, Yahweh Shema. And the English translators there in the very last verse have translated this, the Lord is there. But this word Shema carries with it a much deeper and heavier connotation. And it actually, this Hebrew word brings in the connotation of the ruined city. So the last word that God gives through His prophet Ezekiel is really the idea that God is willing to be present in a place of desolation, of emptiness, and destruction. Now, this is such a powerful message to Israel. And the very last word, because the whole book of Ezekiel is one of these exilic prophets. He is one of these that is receiving the word of God during a time when Israel is in trouble. They are away from their home. They have been exiled. They're basically put in a timeout, a foreign timeout. And so God gives his message to Ezekiel of hope and of direction, and promises them of the things that he is going to do, the things that he is going to do for them. And the fact that Jerusalem lies in ruins, the fact that the homeland, and again, if you have ever lost anything precious, if you have ever survived through anything devastating, imagine that. Never went through a fire, but growing up, we survived a couple of tornadoes, and we helped. It was one of the older widows in our church completely lost her home in one of these tornadoes, and she lived about three blocks from us. And so the going over there as soon as the storm was over, and just being in the yard of a place that you just called home. And now everything is just toppled over and laying on top of itself, and everything that you once knew and once counted on was just laid waste. And that's really where Israel is. Israel is in a place where God has said, because of your sin, because of your lack of faith, because you won't listen and obey and follow me, I have had to destroy the place that you called home. I've had to displace you and put you somewhere else. But the message of Ezekiel is that even through all of that pain and suffering and heartache and damage and loss, God says, for my own name's sake, I'm going to be with you the whole way back. I am going to be with you the whole way back. And so we go back a few chapters. Back in chapter 36 that Mark read for us, God says that he will act to vindicate his own name, that he is going to do good for his people for the sake of his own reputation. So God says to his people, look, you've sinned, you've messed up, you've been unfaithful, and you have been punished. And I'm going to restore you so that everyone around you knows how good I am. And so the things that he mentions, about verse 24, he says he's going to bring them into their own land. And then he says he is going to clean them from their uncleanness. And then he says he is going to give them a new heart, and he is going to put his spirit within them. And so God says, I am so good. And even though you are so bad, I am going to do these good things for you. And Mark brought us to 32, and he says, it's not for your sake that I will act. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. And so God says, I'm going to do such wonderful things for you, but as far as where you are and where your heart is, you need to be ashamed for your sins. Your heart needs to be broken. You need to be humble. And when you think of the things that you have done, when you think about the evil things that you have done, that is not anything to be exalted or lifted up or glorified. Those things are shameful things. But I want us to continue here in verse 33. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they will say, the land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I have done it. So this is the idea of Yahweh Shema. This is this name of God that he puts on his city, because this name carried with it this desolation and this ruin. And so God says, I'm going to bring you back to this place, and it's going to be so beautiful, and everyone's going to look at it and go, this is like the garden. This is like the garden. It's like the Garden of Eden. This is so amazing. And we know what this place was before. This place was the city dump. This place was a trash heap. It was a mess. It was not just dirty, it was destroyed. And so over and over, Ezekiel uses these words of heap and ruin and desolate. And that's all Shema. That's all this word and this idea that God says, I'm going to be there even in those places that others look at and say, that place is a mess. Now this is really the power of this name that God puts on his city by his willingness to look at where his people are and say, you've made a mess of things and I still choose to be there with you. You have destroyed it and I still choose to dwell with you and make my home there with you. And church, we that know the Lord can't help but just raise our hands and celebrate and hallelujah and just give thanks to God for his willingness to look at us in our situation and say, I choose you. I choose to show you mercy. I choose to pour my grace upon you. I choose to give you love and to give you forgiveness. God is willing to forgive and cleanse his sinners and make his presence with us. Let's turn over to 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. This chapter helps us a little bit as well. So he is going to rebuild the ruined places. He is going to make his presence there once again. And everyone else is going to be able to look at it and say, God is really impressive. God is really impressive, because we remember when this place was a dump. We remember that when this place was just destruction. Ezekiel 43 verse 1. Then he led me to the gate facing east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel was coming from the east, and the sound of his coming was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And the vision I saw was just like the vision that I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and just like the vision that I had seen by the Chebar Canal, and I fell on my face. As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, I heard one speaking to me out of the temple, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the people of Israel forever. And the house of Israel shall no more defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings, by their whoring and by the dead bodies of their kings at their high places, by setting their threshold by my threshold and their doorposts beside my doorposts, with only a wall between me and them. They have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, so I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoring and the dead bodies of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. So God shows Ezekiel this vision and says, look, I am going to be present here with you, but you need to put away your sins. You need to put away your sins. So the wonderful love and mercy that God shows us while we are destroyed, while we are trashed, while we are in ruins, God pours out His love and His mercy on us and He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to dwell with you. It's going to be forever. But now that I am here, you need to keep it clean. You need to keep it clean so that none of us will fall into the trap that so many people fall into and say, oh, well, you know, I was a sinner then, I'm a sinner now, and God's love covers everything, so I'm just going to live for me. I'm just going to do what I want to do, and I'm just going to chase the things of this world, and I'm just going to continue in my sins. And God says, no, 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 you remove those things from your life. Now that I am choosing to dwell with you, now that I am showing you mercy and cleansing you and cleaning you up and rebuilding you, it is for better things than to continue to just go and look like everybody else. You see, the present, or the gift of the Lord, is His presence. His presence. His willingness to be here with us and among us. That is Yahweh Shema. Where God says, He points to a place and says, I will be there. I choose to be there. The Lord is present. The Lord is here. Now, As we understand that God chooses to put His presence even among those who have ruined their lives with sin, it brings us to our knees and it raises our voices in praise and exaltation as we understand and as we focus on the gift that God shows us because of His great love and His great mercy. In fact, He gives us a land, He gives us a place, He cleanses us from our sins, He gives us a new heart so that we can actually care about and love the things that He loves, and He puts His Spirit within us. He chooses to dwell within this temple. And so all the things that we know about the life of the Christian, and all the things that we know about salvation and forgiveness and restoration and justification and sanctification, all these things that you and I know under the new covenant, Ezekiel is really just giving us this idea and saying, this is who God is and this is what God does. God comes to a ruined place and He says, I'm going to set my home there. I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to rebuild it. I'm going to make it so amazing so that everybody else that sees it looks at it and goes, wait a minute, that place was a mess, but now look at it. And that, church, that's really our story. That's our story that we share with the lost around us, that I was a mess, but look what God has done. I had destroyed what God had given me, but look what God has built with it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 1. I got to take one of my boys out to dinner this weekend. And it just the two of us. And Carson was talking to me about one of his friends, and he said, Dad, this friend is an agnostic. And I don't have time to describe what that word means just or what they think it means. But Carson was sharing with me, he said, this friend loves to argue with me because he knows that I'm a believer. And he just tries and tries. And he just tries to get under my skin. He just tries to disprove things. He tries to get me to admit that the Bible's not real, that God's not real. And he's always going after me. So that is a fantastic friend. He said, well, yeah, I mean, he is. He said, but he doesn't bother any of our other friends because none of our other friends believe in anything. So I get all of it. I said, okay, I understand that. And so he said the other day they were hanging out and his friend just kept going at him. And he goes, Dad, I've tried to tell him, look, I can't convince you about God. All I can do is share with you what God has done for me. That's all I can do. And he's told his friend, he says, I've made some bad mistakes. I've made a mess of what God has given me, but I also know that God has come back and he's here. He's with me. And so he said, we were talking and my friend, he did get under my skin and I got a little upset with him. And he said, my friend went to the bathroom and I just stopped. He goes, and I stopped right there and I prayed. I said, God, you have to show him. I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know what to say. I don't have the words to give them what I have. So you have to show it to him. And he said, my friend was in the bathroom for 10 minutes. He said, I thought that was kind of weird. And when his friend finally came out, his friend said, Carson, I need to apologize to you. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm really not trying to be a jerk. He said, you're just so sure of what you believe. And I don't have that. You're just so confident in your faith. And it drives me crazy. But I'm sorry for treating you like a jerk. And Carson's telling me this story over dinner. And Carson said, Dad, I just stopped and said, thank you. He said, that's the biggest compliment I've ever received from anybody. And I said, Carson, that's it. That God has taken your life and the mistakes you've made with it, the ruin you have done, and he's brought mercy and grace to it, and he's now using it to shine out for the nations. He's now letting other people see what his love and mercy can do. In Matthew chapter 1, Jesus comes to this world, and what God is doing for Israel back with Ezekiel, now God is acting with Jesus for everyone. That not only will the nations, you know, all the people that don't believe, not only will they see and go, wow, that's really impressive, that what their God has done, God has now said, I'm sending my son so that everyone can be a part of my family, that everyone can be included, and that everyone can receive the gifts that I give in mercy. And so in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is present. Yahweh Shema. God is here. Jesus comes into the world, and as his name dictates, he will save his people from their sins. And this, Matthew chapter 1, fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. And in Isaiah chapter 7, we have the name Emmanuel. And this is so important that Jesus is Emmanuel, that Jesus is the fulfillment of God with us. And he comes to this earth to accomplish for all believers what God has done for Israel back with the prophets. And so Jesus comes down for us, and not just for us, but for the whole world. Jesus dies for the sins of the world. And God calls all people to him through the work of his Son. And God says, I am present. I am here with you. You've made it a mess. You've ruined some things. But I choose to come and be with you. I choose to cleanse you and to heal you. I choose to give you a place. I choose to let my spirit dwell with you. And so as we read our Bibles and all these ideas of the Christian life and you and I being a temple holy to the Lord, you and I being the place where God says, I will come and be there with you. And so all these things just have a fuller meaning. And as you read them in your own studies or future lessons or whatever, when we hear the New Testament writers write about God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that when we read things like you and I are a temple holy to the Lord, or the Holy Spirit makes his home with us, it's all of this same idea of God choosing to be present with us. God taking a ruined thing and rebuilding it and making it beautiful. Of God taking a mess and building it back up and saying, that's where I want to be. I want to be with my people. Jesus is how God makes his name real for everyone. God is willing to forgive our sins, to make his presence with us, and the ruin of our lives changes to bring him glory when we repent. When you and I repent of our sins, when you and I come to God and say, I know the ruin I have made. I know the sins that I have committed. I know the mistakes that I have made. And I bring those to you. Because in you is where I find mercy. In you is where I find love. In you is where I find grace and forgiveness. And I want to be that temple. I want your presence to be here in my life at all times. I don't want to do anything that would get in the way of that. I don't want to, just like we read in, what was it, chapter 43, in the temple of the Lord where he chooses to dwell with us. I don't want to build up any dividing walls between you and myself. I don't want to erect dead kings. That means to exalt anyone else to the level of God that they do not belong. I don't want to put those barriers between myself and you. I want to freely enjoy your presence in my life. I want to walk and enjoy and reap the full benefits of Yahweh Shema. I want to know that you are present, that you are here with me at all times. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 is, as things come to a close, we get John, who received visions a lot like Ezekiel did. We get the end of the matter, and he puts these things together for us. Revelation chapter 21, we are told that God is going to make a new heaven. He's going to remake a new heaven and a new earth. And then he lets us know about the city. And the city is the very last word of Ezekiel, that the name of the city will therefore be called the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema. And in Revelation 21, verse 9, then came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. In length and width and height they're equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. So the city, the New Jerusalem that comes down, cannot be destroyed. And God's presence dwells there forever. In fact, it tells us the dwelling place of God is with man. God chooses to be with us. God chooses to be with us. Not because we are awesome. Not because you and I show up every Sunday and we say all the right things and do all the right things. No. Now remember, God chose to be with us when we were in ruin. God chose to be with us when we were a mess. And He cleansed us. He forgave us. He built us. He put us together. And He chooses to dwell with us forever. And so our lasting city won't be taken away. And so we, like Israel and Ezekiel, we live by faith in these promises. Ezekiel wrote his letter to Israel at a time where they didn't have these things. And again, you and I, as we read the promises of our future dwelling, as we read in Revelation chapter 6, where God says that every tear will be dried, every heart will be comforted, every bad thing will come to an end, every suffering that we go through, we wait for Him to wipe away our tears, and He has made all things new with Jesus Christ. Yahweh Shema, the Lord is there. Church, this is such an amazing gift that God has given us to make His home with us, to be present in our lives, to draw us to Him by forgiving us of our sins, by making us holy, by sanctifying us and setting us apart for His purposes. This is an amazing gift that God gives to us. And He does so for His own name. He has forgiven us so that the nations can look upon us and say, God is good. He has done so much good for us so that the lost can look at our lives and say, that's a good thing. And that's something that I would like as well. Church, we receive this good news. We put our hope and our faith in this good news. And we go out this week and we share this good news. That Carson's friend and the people around you and I, those that question and try to tear down, because honestly, the reason why people try to tear down your faith is because if they can put a hole in it that they can trust, then they don't have to believe. And so what do? Well, we tell them what Jesus has done. We tell them what Jesus has done. We share with them the ruin that was us and the good work that God has done for us. And they look at our lives and they see God is there. God is there. How can you live such a way? How can you do good things? Because God is here. God is here. So this is a name, just like the city. This is a name that you and I can carry with us. This is a name that you and I can share with everyone around us. So let's celebrate what God has done for us. Let's celebrate His presence in our lives every single day. And let's share this gift that He has given us with others. So if you need to respond this morning, you have the opportunity to do so.